Hi there, church family. Let's ask for God's help as we meditate on Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 together. Father, we exalt you as the only one whose words are living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So we ask that you would speak to us now, penetrating to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and actions of our hearts as we come to this portion of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Philippians 1:21, Paul makes one of the most stunning statements of love and devotion when he declares, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In a sense, this was Paul's mission statement. For as long as I can remember, this has been one of my favorite verses. But meditating on it again has reminded me that it is one thing to appreciate the verse, and entirely another for it to be my mission statement. So what did Paul mean? The immediate context of chapter 1 and other selected passages in this letter really help us by highlighting three Christ-centered components of his mission. In the first place, we see the thrust of Paul's mission, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 3 to 5. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Notice that he is fervent in joyful prayer because of his partnership with the Philippians in the advance of the gospel. Then in verse 12, he eagerly says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." Paul is rejoicing because the gospel is advancing both inside prison, in the lives of both the guards and prisoners alike, and outside prison, where Christ was being proclaimed, as he explains in verses 14 to 18. In particular, Paul's example was inspiring some Christians to be much more bold to speak the word without fear. When was the last time you or I got excited about being in partnership with fellow believers for the advance of the gospel? Notice also how committed he remains to advancing the gospel in spite of his extremely difficult circumstances. Remember, he's writing to them from prison, potentially facing a death sentence, as he alludes to in verse 20, and he's praying fervently and joyfully. Are we fervent in joyful prayer when facing life's many challenges? For many of us, probably not. Is it because we're spending more time and energy advancing our own kingdoms instead of Christ's? Trials are often an assault on our own treasures and pleasures. So we spend much time feeling sorry for ourselves and finding comfort and hope in the things we hold most dear in this life. So as James encourages us, we can rejoice in our trials. This is because God uses them to refocus our lives away from our own missions back to the advance of his kingdom. As for Paul, more kingdom focus should lead to more fervent, joyful prayer during trials. In the second place, we see the central focus of his mission, to build others up in their faith in Christ Jesus. Here we see his particular focus on people in the advance of the gospel. In verse 6, he encourages them that it was God who began the work in them, and so would carry it on to completion. In verses 7 to 8, look how dear the believers were to him and how much he missed fellowshipping with them. He says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." In verses 9 to 11, he shows his prayerful concern for their love in action and their growth in holiness when he says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, that you may prove what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." In verse 22, he states, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me." He then gives an example of this labor in verse 25, saying that it would be for their progress and joy in the faith. Paul is intensely other people focused for the sake of the gospel. Are you and I? As naturally self-centered people, this is a searching question. And for those who may be considered more people-focused, how much of that is for the sake of the gospel? So for all the people within our sphere of influence, from the nearest and dearest brother or sister in the Lord, spouse, child, or friend, to the acquaintances of a neighbor, work colleague, or gym buddy, may the Lord make us as passionately intentional as Paul was for other people's progress and joy in the faith. Finally, we see the ultimate goal of Paul's mission, to attain the prize, that is, to be with Christ forever. Surely what we've already considered flowed from his personal devotion to and love for the Christ of the gospel. In showing his contempt to his former way of life, characterized by self-righteous religiosity, he says in chapter 3, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him." And he goes on to say, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." For Paul, dying was not merely freedom from the trials of this life, not about being in a better place, but the very means to the highest end, Christ, his soul's ultimate satisfaction. This is clear from verse 23, where he says, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is better by far." To what end do you and I pursue God, if indeed we do? Is it for the satisfaction of our souls through Christ Jesus, our Savior and friend? And surely the more we are found in him and about his work while we're alive, the more, like Paul, we will long to be with him through death. In summary then, we see that Paul's mission was to know Christ and to make him known. Truly compelled by Christ's great love for him, he was so Christ-centered and gospel-focused in life that naturally death was gain for him. He literally practiced what he preached to the Corinthians when he said to them, "Christ died that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again." So how about you and me? To what extent is Paul's mission statement our own? Should it be? Well, in this very letter to the Philippian Christians, and by implication to all Christians, he exhorts them in verse 9 of chapter 4, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." So this mission is not reserved for apostles like Paul, pioneering missionaries, writing from prison, potentially facing death. God often just uses such saints to call us to follow them as they follow Christ. So we should be on this mission, Christ's glorious gospel mission. This is why it's been said that all Christians are missionaries. Missionaries merely disguised, as it were, as medical professionals, bankers, teachers, lawyers, engineers, accountants, event coordinators, HR and IT specialists, home executives, etc. And we have been called to do it together as gospel partners, encouraging one another and building each other up every step of the way. Brothers and sisters, to the extent we fall short of this holy calling, let's earnestly, humbly, and sincerely repent. Let us also, as Paul exhorts them in chapter 2, continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And as we do, let us also rest in him, sure of this, that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, forgive us for making your grace in our lives a means to our own ends. O Lord, revive our hearts and refocus our missions. Help us, especially during this time of isolation, to consider how best to reorder our lives for your glorious cause, fueled by our own worship and adoration of all you are, all you have done, and continue to do. We ask this that we may truly shine as lights for you in this dark world, that our manner of life may be worthy of the gospel of Christ, and so that with Paul we would be able to declare with all sincerity, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For your glory we pray. Amen.